This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
Good morning. I'm just going to pray this out. Thank you, Father, for what you've been doing with us this morning. Thank you that you're speaking to us about how you're our portion, that when we hunger, you are there and you provide all that we need, Lord. Thank you so much. And I just pray that you continue to speak to us through the word. Lord, have your way and bring something fresh this morning.
Yes.
We fix our attention on you. Amen.
Amen.
Cool. So this morning, I'm going to talk to you about the Father's house. It's something that God's been speaking to me about recently, and I feel it's something that is going to bless you and encourage you. So what do I mean by the Father's house? I want to set it out clearly at the beginning. We are the temple of God. As a church and individually, we are the temple of God. God hasn't decided to keep his presence in a building like in the Old Testament. It's not in a synagogue or a temple or a tabernacle, but now he presences himself in us, because Christ tore the veil which separated us from God's presence, and now we can have a relationship with God. And as I just said, this is an individual and a corporate thing that you can approach it individually, as can be seen in 1 Corinthians 6 when it's talking about sexual immorality. It says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And corporately, in the same book, 1 Corinthians, but chapter 3 this time, it says, all of you together are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God lives in you. If you'd like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, this is the scripture that's going to frame most of what I speak about this morning. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Sorry. It talks about God's temple. And it says, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through meditation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. We are the living stones that God has chosen to build his temple. But not just that. We're called holy priests in his temple. And just to explain a bit more about the importance of this picture, I'm going to just mention a couple of scriptures. You can turn to them if you want. But the first being Isaiah 6, where Isaiah has a vision of God, and he says that that the Lord is seated on his throne and the train of his robe fills the temple. God fills us completely to overflow. And in Psalm 133, when it talks about Aaron's anointing, Aaron is a priest in the Bible, and when he's anointed, it says that the oil wasn't sprinkled on his head, it was poured out on his head, so much so that it came down, ran down his face into his beard, and from his beard onto the border of his robes. So, as the anointing is poured on the head of the church, Christ, our royal priest, the high priest, the anointing flows from the head to the royal robes which fill the temple, us, the living temple of God. So I hope that gives some sort of picture of what the temple of God is, that we are the living stones that make up God's temple. And I just want to highlight three aspects of God's temple, our Father's house, that God's been speaking to me about. And those are, our Father's house is a place of love, it's a place of learning, and it's a place of lordship, of love, of learning, and lordship. So firstly, love. In Song of Songs, chapter 2, it says, "He brought me to the banqueting table, and his banner over me was love. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love." Immediately, God's house is distinguished. It's marked by his love. It's recognizable through the Father's nature. And a great example of someone who recognizes the Father's house through his nature is the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. So if you'd like to turn to Luke chapter 15, verses 17 to 20. That's Luke 15, verses 17 to 20. We're going to jump in to the story, but we all know, don't we, that the younger son has taken his inheritance from his father and he's gone his own way to live life by himself without his father, and has spent all his inheritance and is left hungry, starving, alone with the pigs. And that's where we're going to pick up the story, in verse 17, which says, "When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, 'At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as your hired servant.' So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him." In this passage, the son recognizes the nature of his father's house. Whereas the son had nothing to eat, his father's house had enough to feed all in his care. Where the son was alone, the father's house was filled with people. Where the son was sad and tired, his father's house was full of joy. And the son recognized this and said, "Why should I be alone and hungry, starving here with the pigs, when I could go to my father's house and be happy and accepted, included, and joyful?" So he returns. You see, the son recognizes that his father's house has the nature of his father. The father's house has taken the character and the nature of the father himself. The loving, caring, generous nature of the head of the house has overflowed from himself down to the rest of the household. And this is identified by the son as good and right and much, much better than anywhere else that he could be. And I believe this is the same for us as the church, that we are to be recognized by the traits, the nature of God, the head of the house. We look to him for how we act, for our character. He has given us our nature, a new nature, when we came to Christ. And that is how this world will recognize us, by the nature that we show of our Father. The second point is that our Father's house is a place of learning. Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4 says, "A house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through understanding. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with all sorts of precious riches and valuables." We're called to build a temple. We're called to build ourselves by spending time with God. God has filled us with his Spirit, and he's given us all spiritual blessings. We know this. But God doesn't just go, "All right, I've given you everything, you're equipped now. Just go and do your thing, and I'll check with you later, see how it's going." No, he wants relationship with us. He walks life through with us. A great example in the Bible of someone who learns about God in his temple is Samuel. Samuel, from a young boy, grew up in the tabernacle, and he. It says in the Bible that he grew up in the presence of the Lord, which is a great description of someone. and it's how we should be. But we all know the story about how God calls Samuel when he's sleeping one night, and he mishears the voice and says, "Oh, Eli, what do you want? I'm here." And Eli sends him back to bed and says, "That wasn't me, sorry, just go back to sleep." And it happens again, and God calls Samuel, calls his name, and he responds again, "Here I am," but to Eli, not to God. And then the third time, Eli and Samuel identify that it's God who's speaking. It's a great example of how when we spend time in the presence of the Lord, we learn his voice. We learn how to respond and how to act with God. And even in Jesus' life, it's evident that the temple is a place of learning. When he was young and Mary and Joseph were travelling home from a festival in Jerusalem, Jesus just decided to stay. So he was in the temple just talking to people, chilling out, I guess. And he was asked questions and people were amazed by their answers. And for those people, they were learning. But not only that, but it says that when Mary and Joseph found Jesus after 3 days of looking for their misplaced child, that Jesus left the tabernacle, the temple, and learnt obedience. So even Jesus learnt at the temple. Could you turn to John chapter 5, verse 19, please? It's a scripture that Matthew mentioned 2 weeks ago. And yeah, God's been speaking to me about it. It's very simple. John 5, verse 19. It says, "I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does also." This is Jesus speaking. And the only way that you can know what the Father is doing, to be able to see that, you have to spend time with the Father. That's the only way that you can do that. And if Jesus says that he is spending time with the Father, then it's a great example to us that in order to know our Father's nature, we need to spend time with him. It's so true that you become like those that you spend time with. You pick up the habits and the traits of those around you. And it's the same with God, that if you spend time with him in his presence, then you learn his nature. And you start to understand who he is and who he's called us to be and what we're empowered to do through what the work that Christ has done. For me, one of the greatest things that God's done in my life is he's given me an identity. Like when I was growing up, I looked around at my friends and I didn't need to be like my friends in school or university because I knew that I had a better model. I knew that God had given me his character, his nature, that I didn't have to resemble anyone else because God had my identity planned out. And in the spending time with the Father, you cultivate, you unpack the Father's traits, everything that he's given us. One more thing on this is to be malleable in the potter's hands. When you come to spend time with God, come expecting to change. Come with faith. It's great to read the Bible, but it's even better to read the Bible with faith and expecting that God is going to speak to you and he's going to reshape you into something that looks more like Christ, taking us from glory to glory. Our Father's house. Our Father's house is a place of lordship. We know that our God is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords, the All-Powerful, the I Am. but he's our Father. At the same time as being the greatest of all, he's our Father. In Galatians 3:26, it says, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus." So this King of all kings, the ruler of nations, calls us his sons and daughters. And our Father's kingship implies that there is a kingdom. And God's kingdom is advancing. In Isaiah 26, verse 15, it says, "You have increased the nations, O Lord. You have increased the nation. You are glorified. You have enlarged all the borders of this land." God's desire is to advance. And as sons and daughters of God, we are called to go and show God's glory on this earth. We are the ones that are going to show the character, the nature of God in this world and affect change in people's lives. It says that you have increased the nations. It's God's desire to see people added to the temple of the Lord. His heart is for people, and his kingdom increases through us, his people, reaching to the people in the world. If you'll turn to Revelation 7, please. Revelation 7 talks about a great crowd that shout, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." And if you go to Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, we're going to pick up at 14. And it's talking about the crowd that I just mentioned. "Then he said to me, 'These are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. For the Lord on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.'" This is something that people are going to be attracted to. This description. The world is really going to want this. A place without hunger. A refuge. A shelter from the beating sun. A place of life-giving springs. People are really going to want this. And together as the church, we have to be the ones who go out shouting, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. Look, there's healing and there's provision in God's house. He loves you and has purpose for your life." God's house, our Father's house, advances through his sons and daughters, the living stones of God's temple, showing his glory and his goodness to the people around us in our everyday life. I'm just going to sum up. Our Father's house, it's a place of love, it's a place of learning, and it's a place of lordship. We are the temple of the Lord, the living stones of our Father's house. We are marked by love. We are distinguished from others by the Father's nature. And it's what is going to attract people to our Lord. We only do as the Father does. We learn from what our Father does. And it's us that is going to affect change. God has chosen us to advance his kingdom. That's all I've got to say, so I'm going to pray. Thank you, Lord, that you have chosen to dwell in us. That you have a purpose for us, individually and corporately as your church. We pray that as we go this week and spend time with you, that you reveal more of your nature, more of your traits, Lord, that we can take on ourselves. We thank you for your life-giving spirit. And we pray that your kingdom will continue to advance quicker and quicker from glory to glory, and that the people of this world will just be overawed by the wonderful nature of the Father's house. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.